Yo, what is good, YouTubes? This is your boy in the NYC. It's me, Ray, and this is the EDCC that is the Everyday City Carry. This episode has been a long time coming. I wanted to have this guy on for a while. This is Ed from BRS Evolve on the show tonight. How's it going, buddy?
Good, man. Thank you for...
Cheers to you, my friend.
Yeah, to you as well. Thanks for letting me be on your podcast.
Yeah, so you asked me a question about CBD, like right before we hopped on it. I did want to get to that because I promote that a lot on this podcast. I actually don't smoke weed. I used to love smoking weed, but in my mid-30s, for some reason, even if I take just like one hit of a joint, I would get super fucking paranoid, like extremely. And then the anxiety is too much, and I started experiencing more and more anxiety. This is around the time that like my dad passed away and I started to experience a lot of anxiety. It really fucked me up, like crippling. And I never had it before. I started CBD about 2 years ago and like I have no anxiety at all. No social anxiety, like nothing. I'm talking to people every day at my CBD shop and it's completely gone. Yeah, I've gotten into fitness. I lift every day and like no soreness, none of that. And that's all from CBD. I don't take anything else.
So I have friends who run a Magfa certified farm for for hemp flower.
Yeah.
And they are up here in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really super kind folks. And when I have had a problem with my neck, they were giving me, you know, like a thingy, like rub it on like a cream. Yeah. And I have to say, pretty freaking effective, not for nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of it, and I think there's a lot of benefit to it.
Yeah, for sure, man. Inflammation, bringing down inflammation, the number one thing the CBD does.
Yeah. And hemp flower, if you were to smoke, you know, marijuana and like, am I to judge? If that stuff makes you paranoid or like, you know, or you're like just smoked out because like you're an older dude or whatever.
Yeah.
The CBD, you know, smoking hemp flower is not going to get you like jazzed up. I mean, so you get the benefit, but none of the drawbacks.
Psychoactive. Yeah. I smoke CBD. I would say at least one joint a night or half. I split one with my girl usually right before we go to sleep. And it's just this super relaxing thing, helps me wind down, and then I just like knock out. And I'm not like groggy in the morning, you know. No, it's really changed my life, dude. And I'm not just promoting A-list CBD, you know, shout out to A-list CBD, but guys that are having a problem with anxiety, that's like literally almost anyone.
Sure.
Fucking try it. Like, what do you got to lose? It's like you're either going to try CBD or what, like take Xanax or something. Like, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I'd rather, you know, try hemp first, right? But it's really good.
I needed to take any type of medication. I mean, look, when it comes to stuff that's like, if you break your arm and shit, you'll run right to the doctor, you know?
Yeah.
But if your head isn't right, most people, they don't go and get things that they need or talk to people or whatever, because there's like a stigma, you know? And I think it's kind of nonsense. It's just you're just taking care of your body and your mind and yourself, like this whole picture. And if the CBD is helpful to you, or if you, you know, turn somebody else onto it and it helps them, I think that's a great thing. So I wouldn't begrudge anybody anything that helps them.
It's definitely worth a try. You know, it's a very low cost of entry. It's not super expensive or anything like that. You could pretty much find it almost anywhere online. And if you fucking have any questions, just hit me up. Yeah, I ship it anywhere in the U.S. Priority, just hit me up on the DM on Instagram or hit up A-List CBD. We're on YouTube, Instagram. I'm like fucking, I should charge my family for like ad reads. Because I promote them like crazy.
I like that, you know? Everything that we do is very much grounded in the family, you know, that was created around the idea of the companies that we run and the products and the culture that we, you know, helped to try and create and content that we try and create. And it is a mad like family thing. Like, I don't sweat ever. If someone's looking for something that I don't have, like, I know a host of other makers and people, and like, there's just no ego here. You know, I'll send someone to someone else's door. Like, I'll promote their shit. Like, it doesn't bother me in the least bit.
That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, for sure. You gotta get the right stuff, you know? Now, look, if you buy my stuff and you love it, then great. I made it just for you. Do you see what I'm trying to tell you?
Yeah,
you
know yeah.
What I mean? Like, that's the relationship I want to have with you. If you want to, like, try Evolve stuff or BRS stuff or Revo or Vault, you know, we make that case, you know,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yeah. I featured that on my TikTok today.
Yeah, that thing, that's an awesome project. I'm really, was really excited for it. And it did really good. It's awesome. What I'm trying to say is, like, you can have this, like, really subversive, like, experience with us where you just buy a product and we go, thank you. And, you know, or if you want to take this, like, crazy deep dive, you know, into us as a brand, there's, like, tons of, like, stories and products and prototypes and one-offs and collectibles. And I think, I mean, there was even a point where we were, like, putting, like, collectible coins in with certain runs of products, and, like, the coins were randomized, so you didn't know if you're going to get, like, this, like, bronze one or, like, a normal one. And they're, like, really rare ones. So that we would put one out, and there would only be, like, one of that coin in a, like, 300-piece wow. dive run. You know, so somebody would open that up and be like, oh, shit. You know,
I got the rare coin.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, there's a deep dive there if you want to take it. And that's what we've been doing for the past 10, 12 years. It's just building, like, I want to say, like, legacy, you know, products.
I truly believe in that, and that sort of planning, actually. I mean, that's what I'm trying to do with the channel, is just, like, you know, build this network of, like, kind of, like, trusted and loyal viewers and friends and things like that that really, really fuck with the channel heavy, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily have the highest view count or the highest sub count or something like that, but there are plenty of people that are definitely throwing down in the comment section and coming to the lives and, like, doing the Patreon and things like that. But let's get into some knife talk a little bit. So the reason why I talk about you guys so heavy on my channel and mention you any chance I get, feature your products any chance I get on any of my social media platforms is because you're one of the few people that actually, like, believed in the channel and, like, sent me stuff like this BRS Evolve Overwatch here, which I absolutely love.
And
it was during a time where, like, I wasn't really getting a lot of love like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
but, you know, the guys who were really in it, you know, and, like, maybe they're ahead of the curve a little bit, you know, as far as, like, their style, or maybe they haven't caught on, like, in the moment. Mm-hmm. Like, I have found with social media partnership that them dudes work, and a testament to you. You might work five times as hard as somebody who thinks they've got it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you just get a lot more good quality interaction. Like you said, like, your audience may, let's just say, just for simple math purposes, you have 50,000 followers, right?
Yeah.
But if they're 50,000 engaged followers, it's better than 200,000 followers.
Yeah. So yeah, for sure.
Kind of like that philosophy. And that's why it was so easy to identify your channel and the engagement, and, you know, like, just you, like, you and I have stuff in common. So it was easy, that type of shit. Like, you know, so that's
awesome, man. Thank you for believing in what I'm doing, man. You know, how did you get started with Blade Runner Systems? Blade Runner Systems, for you guys that don't know, big into the Bali world, like, absolutely massive. And that was the first knife company you started?
Yeah. So me and Lawrence, my partner there, there was like this kind of product gap, you know, where we were like, oh, you know, I really like flipping butterfly knives. I really like Bali Songs. And, like, there was, like, one product to get that was, like, kind of like the gold standard, you know, for flipping. And that was the Benchmade 42.
Mm-hmm.
And then Benchmade was like, yeah, I don't know. You know, like, I guess maybe it was like a molded tie handle, and maybe the, you know, that stuff only lasts for so long. And then they have to, like, decide, you know, do we want to get back into this project and, you know, retool up for more of this, that, that. I can't speak for them. I mean, I'm not trying to put, I don't know exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the end of the day, started noticing that, you know, there just wasn't much there for someone who really liked the like hobby of ballet song manipulation. Do you know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. someone who's like, you can go get it. You can go get a butterfly knife, like anywhere, Amazon, anywhere. There's junk, there's stuff that's customs that are thousands of dollars. I mean, they're out there, but like a purpose driven ballet song, one that was literally engineered ground up for flipping. And then also was a great knife. Like I wanted to own both sides of the street. Like, cause I'm a knife guy. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like I couldn't just have one thing.
Yeah.
That's where we decided to kind of like jump in and see like, what could we do? So we had made a website called the Flipping Arena, which was basically like allowing people to use their YouTube videos to have head-to-head battles with the type of tricks that they were performing. And we would all just sit around and vote on the shit and be like, oh, that was sick, or I've never seen that before. And so there's this huge blossom all of a sudden of innovation with the hobby, you know, the tricks. And the more people, you know, touched knives that were existing, the more they wanted for something that was a little bit different, a little bit longer, a little bit more tail weight, a little bit less of this, a little bit more of that, as far as material choices and so on and so forth. So this is kind of the craziest part of the story. Somehow or another, I got Lawrence's phone number. And like, I don't even know how this happened. I don't remember. He doesn't remember. And we joke about it all the time. And I called him up and I was like, look, I have this like wacky ass idea. Let's start a knife company. And like, no matter what we do, we're just going to pretend right out of the gate to just be a big company. We're just going to grow into it. You know what I mean? Like, let's have an idea and a plan and a 5-year plan. And let's really do some math and let's see like, you know, what we can do about becoming self-funded. And, you know, here's the relationships we need to make. And here's the retail relationships we need to make. And we had this big, like, whiteboard of, like, go get it. And we just went and got it. And I just didn't believe in no. I don't know why. You know what I mean? Like, no, there was no reason for anybody to talk to us ever until they started to realize that the kind of grassroots momentum that we were calibrating, you know what I mean? On forums and on whatever. And so when we finally went to a decent sized retailer, which was Blade HQ, and they were, they're still like so close, you know what I mean? Like, bro, like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, real, yeah.
You know, like I got, a dude sent me like something for my wedding and like it's a thing. I get Dang. Christmas cards from him and shit. I have Christmas cards up there. I'm playing, seeing they write little notes on there.
Hey, wow. Bro.
Like, thank you so much for your friendship. Great satisfaction watching BRS grow. I was like, oh my God, like, this is the shit,
That's
right?
Amazing.
And so I went to them and I was like, look, dog, we have 200 people that want, after we made our first pilot run of Ballet Songs, mm-hmm. there's 12 of them. And then we followed up with another 20 because they sold out real quick. I said, who wants this thing if we were to be able to find a production solution for it and it wasn't going to be kind of like a more of a handmade, you know, style product. And we had help in doing that initially with a knife maker. Cause Lawrence and I had only designed everything. And then Blade HQ was like, well, you have 200 people ready to buy this thing. I was like, yeah. And they were like, all right, we'll back your play. And that was that. Yeah. That's going. But the crazy, crazy thing is initially when we knew that we wanted to generate this product, we didn't have any connections as far as production capability. We were looking up machine shops. We initially went to Kershaw and Zero Tolerance.
Yeah.
Went so far as to actually mold up some handles and stuff based off our design. And they were very far behind. We wanted it to be a Zero Tolerance product because we felt it was kind of a precision higher end product.
Yeah.
And they were so far behind with the ZT stuff, they couldn't get to us. So after a year of waiting, they released the project back to us, which was cool. It was our project to begin with. But man, those guys have been, even still, like Thomas Welk and all the guys down there, still super involved, still friendly, still talk to us, still chat. In fact, I would say that their mentorship and whatever in the beginning was really important. You know, because like they were real industry dudes that were like, look, we like you guys. We like your energy. You seem like you have a plan. Whereas, you know, the old adage is this, right? You go to Blade Show, right? And you're going to see like, you know, 500 people. And next year, you know, half of them are not going to be there again.
Mm-hmm.
So we kept like selling out and selling out and selling out and selling out and keep showing up and showing up and showing up. And people, and you know, they were like, well, shit. What else can you do? Which is cool. So that was a cool thing. And that was kind of the ethos of how we started. I asked Lawrence to come on board, and because I had identified his scope of talent by working with him on the Flipping Arena, you know, website. And then from there, we just kept making them. Came out with the Alpha Beast first, then Replicant, then Bare Bones, and now several iterations of those products and special runs and so on and so forth. And now we're platforming into Hybrid Replicant, Nexus, an aluminum channel, Bare Bones. I mean, like, so it's, we keep adding, you know, we're not just like sitting on it, you know what I mean? We're just keep working it.
So, that's sick, dude. Did the website stuff, did that really like take off, or how long ago was that?
Oh my God. I'd have to say that was probably 2008.
2008. So like almost 13 years ago.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
That's crazy. So there was no going viral at the moment, but then you kind of went viral.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've been on TV. We've been on Tosh.0. We've been on, we were on, there was like a cop procedural show that we were on. Mm-hmm. I'm blanking on the name. I'm really sorry. God, I feel bad about that. But Alicia Johnson, the actress, was a fan of BRS. And so they got with the prop people and they were like, can we use your knife in the show? And I was like, all right. And not for nothing. There's a scene where they flip open a replicant and cut open the seat of a Chevelle that's loaded up with drugs. And they're like, you can see the rep in the, you know. And I was like, holy shit, we're on TV.
Literally Googling Alicia Johnson right now.
She was in Blind Spot was the name of that show, maybe.
Oh shit. What, you know, for real?
Yeah. I can't remember the episode name that we're in, but yeah, we're in that.
Wait a minute.
I mean, there's some viral elements to what we're doing.
Oh shit. This is the blonde girl?
Yeah.
Oh, I know this girl, man.
You know where I knew her from? Because I'm such a dork. Critical Role. She plays Dungeons and Dragons with Matt Mercer and all those guys on Critical Role.
Oh.
I'm all over the map. I like modular synthesizers, dirt bikes, guns, Dungeons and Dragons.
Like, is it Ashley Johnson or Alicia Johnson?
I'm sorry.
Gotcha. Yes. Okay. No, but dude, you know, I totally feel you on, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, about like my growth and stuff on YouTube and social media is like, I am kind of like not in one single group, right? My interests are not in one group. So like they say, when you make content, you got to make content about the thing that you absolutely love doing the most, right? But there is not one fucking thing. So it's so hard. Knives is just one thing, right? I'm very passionate about like playing the video game Monster Hunter. I've been playing it since the PS2 days, and I'm playing it every single day right now. I fucking love movies. I watch like hundreds of movies a year. I want to say almost 1,000 movies a year, probably. Yeah. I love movies. I love podcasts. I listen to at least fucking 20, 30 hours of podcasts a week so I could get better at podcasting. I podcast with my girl every Sunday on Patreon. Yeah, it's like, so it's like, I was talking to my girl and I was like, yo, why do you think, you know, there's the, like the growth is like not as crazy as some people, right? And my girl is being mad wild. She's like, well, it's because you're Asian, you know what I mean? Like, you're Asian in like a very white dominated space. And I don't know if that's the case. They say if someone who looks like you has made it in the space that you're trying to get ahead in, then you can do it too. And if I go by that rule, there is nobody. Like, as an Asian knife YouTuber, there's fucking no one. You know what I mean? But what I was saying was, like, I think the reason why I haven't gotten so far, even though I'm putting in the work, I'm posting every day on literally every platform, like every day. I'm doing like long form content as well as short form. Right. And, you know, I'm putting my all into, I'm definitely putting the time, but I think it's because like I haven't reached people that are of like, people that are like me, but I'm starting to build that core group of like people that kind of like everything, but are into knives too. And not just, you know what I mean? It's something like that. I'm like, I've been thinking about it. And when you said that, it made me kind of like think back on that.
But that's a good thing about having these types of conversations and having them with other people in the knife industry and having them with other people in the CBD industry. And you can start to like cross the streams. Like every business person that I meet, I'm always like, tell me everything about what you do so that if I can pick things that are applicable that make me a better CEO or me a better business person or me a better salesperson or me a better, or in your case, a better podcaster, a better presenter. But like, I'm constantly like building myself. So like I build my body in the gym. I'm exercising my mind. I'm meditating on what I want to grow this business into with my friends. I'm working with my close friends. I mean, for real estate, don't work with your friends. Fuck that. If you can do that, you should do it.
Yeah.
I'm having a blast working with my homeboys. And I'm telling you, I got two of the best dudes. And if you count the relationship that I have with the people that do the domestic manufacturing for the Bally Songs, I got two more friends there in Travis and Nicole. I mean, like, this is a group of people.
Wait, your Bally's are domestically made?
You have to make Bally's domestically. You cannot import. It's completely illegal. Wow. We only do domestic Bally Songs. That's why when we gave Nexus to Revo, we were looking for, we were having a domestic solution for it. So we invented a lower end Bally Song price point wise. And I thought it would be good to have that available through Revo because it's a great way to get attention on Revo. But also Revo was the right place to make that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, mission statement
there too, as well, you know? And I'll tell you, man, like creating this, you know, ecosphere, you know what I mean? I think entrepreneurs like yourself and myself and other people, we are the new Renaissance man. You know, you know what I'm saying? Like, because I'm everywhere, dog, and I'm not, I don't, no ego, no nothing. I want to hear it. I want to, I'm so interested in, you know, what everybody's up to and how it may be applicable to make me and this company better and more tangible and more accessible and more, you know what I'm saying? So like, I agree with what you're putting together, you know, as far as creating that, you know, like I said, like this ecosphere of like stuff. We're doing that, I think, with the knives, the EDC gear, with the domestic and import product. And we're really touching a lot of pieces around that, you know, like cornerstone of BRS, this like company that's known. So we get to like branch out and do these other like special projects, but they all really fundamentally come from the same core group of guys who are all have a very similar ethos. We just want to like give people like the best shit that we can possibly build them for the right price without any bullshit and no nonsense and stuff that's meant to be used. And, you know, and if we, you know, if something's wrong, then we sort it. Like, we want to be those guys, you know, the guy that you would want to touch up against if you had a problem or if you were looking for a product and you, or you wanted to, you know, be taken care of a certain way, or you want to go someplace and be very granular and speak the language of like, I want to talk to people that know about Bally Songs. Well, that's us. So come talk to us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just, it's it becomes like a, I mean, I'll put it to you this way. The greatest thing that BRS ever bought me with all the, like, you know, everything that we have done is freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like I'll work myself to like absolute dust to keep that. Cause like that freedom is so key. So like, I don't blow customers off. I don't like go like, well, you know, you shouldn't have done that. Cause now I can't give you a warranty and like, don't, you know, adjust the pivot. Oh, okay. You know, we have normal disclosure, like any knife company, like if you totally maul this thing, I might not be able to help you just to protect our ass and shit. But like mostly just hit me first. You know what I'm saying? Let me, let me the right, you know, to look at it and see like, is this my bad or your bad or how can we resolve it? You know?
Yeah.
And like, it's just a much better way to be close to everybody that does the business with us, whether it's, you know, like I said, this surface level customer that bought one knife or somebody that was gifted one, you know, and hits me for, you know, like, hey man, like, do you offer a military discount? Oh, hey dude. Yeah. Yes, we do. What do you got? What's up? How are you? And then all of a sudden we're boys, you know,
like, yeah.
I just kind of want to be friendly with everybody, you know.
Like, yeah, that's like how I am usually, you know. I just want to let everyone know I respect everybody and all that stuff. I'm always trying to be like a funny, humorous guy. I felt like the knife community needed like a silly goose like type of dude. You know, I really love what you said about like freedom, man. Like what do you mean by that? Like you mean freedom like financially, that you get to be creatively successful, or
it's not like I mean, it's a successful company. It's a successful company. We're sold out of our Bally Songs and have been for 12 years straight. So that means everything that we've built is completely out of stock. So we're building and growing and building and growing and building and growing. So there's that level of successes there. And I'm grateful for that. I'm not, you know, I can't, that's blessed, dog. Like,
Yeah, dude.
But what I mean by freedom is that, like, I decide what we do. You know what I mean?
That's amazing.
I decide what the direction is, and I can live or die on my own shit. I don't have to worry on whether or not I go to work for XYZ company and they take a dump, like, and I just lose my job. Like, this is on me and my boys, you know? And I think we're competent to guys, and we keep showing up, you know, to this, you know, space, and we just keep crushing it, dude. That's all. That's all there is, you know. You wake up every day with this like mantra of like, I know it sounds like so whack to be so cliche and be like, I'm doing something that I love, but like, I love this because it's everything. It's a sense of pride for me, and I got two young kids, so they're like, BRS dad, and I'm like, yeah, boys, you know, like,
that's sick,
you know what I'm telling? You know, it's like going to a show and have somebody be like, thank you for your product. Or I've had people that were flipping butterfly knives and come to me and be like, dude, I was like bugging. I was like losing my mind. And then I found flipping and like, I feel good, dude. And I'm like, good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's awesome. That type of freedom that I can bounce around and do that stuff. BRSs and Evolve and Revo, they're everything from technical, you know, stuff about building and operating machinery all the way down to an art project. Do you know what I mean? If you like say you look at like a BRS knife, like I have a Alpha Beast right here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sick.
I don't know if it's a little blurry, but can you see the Tang stamp?
Yeah.
Okay. But what you know, that font, it looks like graffiti, right? Well, here it is right here in my hat. I'm being
dumb. Yep. Right.
So why does that shit look like graph? Well, and why is graffiti our tank stamp? Because I used to write graph. So it's like the most honest thing, right? I didn't like go out and be like, I need to come up with a correct marketing angle for my, I was just like, let's make
this
it
look hip.
This is what it should look like, because this is how I'd write it if I did it as graffiti.
Yeah, you know,
like the hashtag marks and all this shit. And,
yep.
Like that's just dope. You know, it's just like an honest representation of us, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's been the best possible thing. I brought you.
You have some stuff to show?
I do. I have show and tell shit. Like, are you into that?
Yeah, dude, let's do it, man. This is exciting right here. Give the audience a taste of what's coming up or what's currently out. That'll be very cool.
I have a, I'll just make sure I like it. So I have the
connect, right? Yes.
This one was a prototype one that had a black blade, and I wasn't 100% in love with it. But I want to show you. Oh, man. Hang on a second. I got to close some. I gotta close an app on my phone.
That is the Ness, right?
Yeah, Ness, and it's the Ness thing. Hang on, I'm just trying to pull something up on my phone. Like, I probably should have done this beforehand, right?
I used that in one of my big giveaways, I think, when we hit 2,000, which was like a while back, and I gave away a bunch of stuff. That was like one of the prizes.
Oh, work?
Yeah. People really wanted that one, man. They were like, oh, I didn't even, because the first place was just like a knife, and I do wacky shit on my giveaway. So the first place was like, I forgot which knife it was, but it was also like a dual screen smartphone. Which is like wacky for a knife channel to do. So the first one, you know, it's a knife and some tech. And then the second place was kind of like around, I think it was like five knives around the price range of the Revo, of the Revo Knives Ness. And everyone wanted second place. They were like, oh my God, like that's the prize I want. And, you know, it was a pretty cool giveaway.
So I don't know if you can see that. All right. There's a lot of glare there.
What is that?
That is an NFT, NFC, you know, thing. So you can fucking run your phone over this and scan this knife and get all the information about it and the warranty info and all that stuff.
That's crazy. But how come that happened?
I never saw anybody do it before. So I was like, fuck it. Can is this something we can do? So we started experimenting with it and I found out that I can do. So I'm just telling you about it here just for fun. We haven't made it official yet, but it's just something that's just the way we think, you know, like, so this is
outside,
like
outside the box. I love it.
It's like a smart knife. Like if you wanted to, you know, because the see, it says open link. And when you open it, just takes you to the manufacturer's website.
That's
just
awesome.
But like, if you, these are all programmable, you know, the NFC chip.
Yeah.
So with like NFC tools on your phone, you can hover over it and be like, you know, if lost, return to Bob Jones, blah, 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 blah.
What?
So, yeah. So how would you know that there's a chip in here? Well, what we would do is we might take the mill and ghost an image of the NFC chip in right in the G-Text.
Yeah.
We're just experimenting.
That's pretty dope.
But it's kind of like a weird, you know, like that's the type of shit that we're into.
I love that, bro. Like people that are doing something. That's one thing that I've always liked about your knives, whether it's Revo or BRS Evolve. You guys just like really go for it. We're in like the knife scene right now. To me, like I'm not really that excited about a lot of releases. Like I'm not like a steel guy. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm not doing hard use. I'm not doing any of that. So, you know, like a sprint run of a, you know, PM2 and Maximat doesn't like get my dick hard or anything. You know, like I'm just like not into that. But when knives have a very dynamic design, a good action, good ergos, and they look different from what else is going on at the time, that's usually what I gravitate to the most.
For sure. Well, we're like high fidget factor dudes because of the ballast.
Yes.
Thing. You know what I mean? So like when we design other knives, I kind of like, yeah, I know that they're going to get used, but I also want them kind of to get played with, you know, in a way. I don't know. I guess kind of a dorky way of saying it. That's why we did Revo. We did Revo and made folding knives, but we did Revo Journeys, which is like meant to be hard use camping gear because
we all
go outside. You know what I'm saying? So we have like these gnarly fixed blades. You can check them out on the website,
RevoKnives.com.
Yeah.
Use promo code EDCC.
Oh yeah, definitely. But you know, another thing, like we were talking about fidget factor, like I had a lot of people be like, I don't get it. And they would get this, they got this thing, we put this out and they were like, what?
I have that.
But it's meant to just flick it like a lighter. Check this out.
Yeah.
Bunk.
Yep. It's like a front flipper almost.
Yeah, it's like some crazy thing. And you can like open beers with it and like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But it's a cool little knife and it legit does not look like anything else. And it is a box destroyer. I cannot tell you how many boxes
play
with this fucking thing. So stuff like
that. I posted this on TikTok and people like it.
So
like with I do post knife content on TikTok. It's very difficult to do it, but I do post it on it every day. I've sort of gotten my formula down now. And man, like your knives do very well. The Overwatch, the Apache.
Apache.
Yeah, it I was gifted this one by a viewer.
That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah, and I love it, man. I love it. Very cool knife. These knives do very well on social media.
Like this too, it gives us a chance to we got with Tommy, the guy that we work with on Revo. He's our third partner in Revo, Tom. That guy's unbelievable. And I was like, hey, bro, I have this idea, this is an in-house, thing. This wasn't a collaboration knife. So this was the one that me and Lawrence, designed. And he said, hey, dude, I think we can do this this kind of like herringbone texture in there and all that stuff. So the nice thing about, like I said, being in this like kind of like family atmosphere is like, I could call Tommy and be like, I have an Evolve project. And he's like, what are you up to, bro? And I'm like, well, I'm thinking about this. And he's like a massively excellent engineer, So it's wow. Like, I get to be able to do that. And then I get to work with him on Revo, and he gets to work with me on BRS and Evolve. And like, so it's pretty killer. And I think that knife, this knife particularly, is a little bit of a flex of just how we can make something pretty but different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or it has a lot of styling cues and a lot of interesting things going on in the pivot and, but it doesn't look like everybody else's stuff.
Exactly. And I love that, man. I want to say, I think this was the first BRS Evolve knife I ever got. I think. And then what's crazy is you hit me up like a couple of days later I got it. And you were like, hey, man, I love your stuff. Like, I want to send you a few things. And I was like so excited, because like I said, not a lot of people are really,
you like my stuff because it's fresh. what I mean?
Yeah, it was awesome, man. It's really awesome. Hold on, let me see if I could pull something.
Project in for a long time.
Yeah. Oh shit! What is that?
So yeah, that is what you should say. This is a Vault Runner and. Uh-huh. The prototype and this was Les Voorhees, really great custom maker, and we wanted to do this collaboration, and we got so much inquiry for Bally Songs when we started this project that this is literally still sitting. I've got like lock bars, and I'm still trying to get all the butterfly knife orders and keep on with that. So that's kind of parked, but I showed you the AB before. This is a hybrid replicant, which basically is a replicant, but it has a tie.
Wow.
Two tie slab, which allows me to do like there's a deep stone wash on the bottom slab, and I can change these colors up. And
I've never seen like your Bollies in person or on camera like this. They look fucking sick, dude. Yeah. Like I wish I could have them. I can't though. Don't send me any, bro.
It's a New York thing.
I can't have them in my house, It's like,
oh, can you do the trainer type one?
I probably could. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I probably. Dude, love it. Look,
you gotta try the trainer thing at the very least if you do.
I know I'm Filipino, bro.
You're Filipino. You can't do a bitch. Yeah. You got to get a real one.
I mean, I've tried before. Like, I know how to do the 1-2-3 and stuff like that. I'm not like crazy.
Yeah, so when it comes to the trainer you get to go in your state. But this one is actually channel. So it's not a sandwich construction, but it's a single milled piece of 7075. And then we do, even if we're doing a trainer, we still do 154, heat treated.
Yeah.
We want this to be as close to your main as the live blade. So like for us, like if this is going to be a trainer, it's got to perform, behave, balance, and feel almost exactly like the live blade. And sometimes that's like, you got to really put some work in to get there. We have done so many weird things over the years. If you could ever find one of these, this is a two-finger nuck that's modeled off an AR, and it opens beer on the end there. And we did this with my friend Aaron, who runs Solo's Hold. And guess what his gig is? He builds screen accurate lightsaber replicas. And he has a machine shop. All this guy does. He is mad talented dude. So helped us out when we first made a few prototypes and different things. In fact, he worked on some of the first prototypes of this.
The fragment.
And people chase down his lightsabers. Like, he's like mad famous in lightsaber, replica lightsaber land. So that guy's an awesome dude. But we did
What's his social media?
Does Solo's Hold.
Solo's Hold?
Yeah, Aaron's a cool shit. But we did this knock. And then we did another one that was like a broom handle Mauser.
Yeah.
And then we were going to do another one that was a 45 and another one that was a 9mm. And everybody just got too busy. We got too busy with Bally Songs and his lightsabers and his replica props. He does like the Ray's gun from Force Awakens. And dude's mad talented. He's crazy.
That's crazy. Are you a big Star Wars fan? Are you a big Star Wars guy? Or
I'm a Star Trek and Star Wars fan. So I got nerd. Like, I got deep nerd. I've got mad.
Yeah. I am a super nerd, bro. I'm talking like Magic the Gathering, Doctor Who level nerd. Like, I watch anime too. So I'm super, super nerd. But you know what it is? I got into fitness lately, right? So I've been working out like 6 days a week for like almost 2 years now. I'm starting to like, body's finally starting to change. And like, I was like, I want to be a nerd that's like jacked. Yeah. That's because like, I'm super nerd, bro. Like really. I love all of it.
When I was younger, I boxed a little, and I'm only 5'7".
Yeah.
So they wanted to keep me so light all the time that I never really got to my natural weight. So when
at 5'7", you got to keep light, bro. Right.
Dude, I'm dropping down to like 122 pounds, bro. It wasn't right for me. And then I stopped doing all that type of things in my late 20s, and I started eating like a normal person. Later on, I think I was 36, was the first time I kind of like wandered into the gym with a friend of mine from a job that I used to work at. And this guy was fucking jacked. He was like crazy jacked, dude. And I was like, I want to get jacked like that. Like, I didn't get there. I mean, look, I'm not huge, but I went from like about 130 pounds to about 170 pounds.
Wow.
So I put a lot more on, and I'll tell you, better for it, and I felt like that was more my natural body size and weight. So if you're starting to like work out and grow, stick with it, dude, stick with it for sure.
Oh yeah, I use this thing right now. I'm gonna show you. I don't go to the gym or anything. My girl gives me a routine. She was a personal trainer at Equinox, so like she's like, do this, because like I'm like, look, I fucking hate people. I'm not going to the gym. I want to do everything at home. And then we bought this. This is a power block.
Oh yeah,
It's an adjustable dumbbell. It goes up to 90.
Yeah,
and I have two of them, and I just do like I lift weights. I do like body weight shit.
Yeah,
and it's really fucking working. And
very effective.
Let me show you something real quick.
Sure.
This is my inspiration right here. So this guy in the red shirt is my oldest brother. He's 48 years old.
Oh no shit.
He runs an American Ninja Warrior.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
So I'm like, that is the blueprint. If he could do it and he was as skinny as me when he was 18, that means I can do it too. You know, he was actually skinnier than me when he was 18. He was like 100 pounds. I'm like 145 right now. So
way earlier, honest to God.
Me too, dude. Me too. And like working out, like I always tell people this, like I have buddies, you know, even in the knife community or outside of it, they're like stressed out or like they just burnt down on stuff and like work out or something, like really run around for like two blocks.
It really does help.
And you'll feel so much better.
It does.
Yeah.
Have you met Lawrence before, my business partner?
No, dude. No, I don't know anybody, bro.
You gotta hang out. Like, I'll come down there and we'll hang out.
Cool.
Lawrence is strong as fuck. That kid's
Shit.
He was at one point. He was running. Doing jits and boxing, like
that's amazing.
That was like his day, as well as doing all the work that it takes to do this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was going for it, and dude, I'm telling you, dude, that dude's fit, dude. He's a good dude, and he's strong as fuck. But the I got to a point before COVID, where I pulled a 405 pound deadlift.
Wow, that's crazy!
And I did it at 160 pounds. So,
damn, dude, that's fucking strong, bro.
I thought that was strong, but dude, there was another dude in the gym that was 5'6", 155 pounds that hit a 600 pound deadlift.
What? But how long has he been like working out though?
Frank, this dude, yeah. Frank's been working out for forever.
But that's, you know, like when your muscles are like super mature, yeah, like you can fucking develop some strength, you know?
That guy was strong, like crazy.
Dude, that's strong. A lot of weight for somebody, yeah, that's like 5'6" or something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
Fucking beast. I have not gotten back to that since COVID, which sucks. So I just re-upped our membership for myself. They have a pool, mm-hmm, there, so it's great because I can take the kids. They can swim, yeah, and my wife can chill with them, and then we can,
that's,
swim.
Awesome.
You know, like, I'll swim, and then she can work out.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'd like to get back to that. But I'm 46, so putting on muscle at this point is like a mad uphill battle for me, dog. So
I thought that. And then I saw this fucking old guy on TikTok that started at 50 and he's 65 right now. And the dude is super fucking jacked and he just works out at home. Like, oh. I'm like, yo, you know, because I knew that if I signed up for a gym, I would have a lot of like, I would give myself a lot of excuses not to do it. Right. So my choice, because my girl and I were watching UFC one time, and it was like the 145ers, right? I think we were watching one championship, which is like the Asian equivalent of UFC. There's a lot of guys there that look just like me that are like super jacked.
Are you about 145? Is that what
before I started working out, I was like barely 130.
Oh, yeah.
And I just packed on weight, good weight. I'm probably going to keep eating 3,000 or more calories till about July 1st. Then I'm just going to shred. I'm going to get Shred City because I'm getting married in September.
Oh, congratulations.
So I'm going to start shredding down in July and just get super shredded. And I'll probably shrink back down to 140, but I will be fucking jacked though. But the thing is like, I saw that we were watching UFC and I told my girl, like, I was like, you want to fuck that? Like, you know what? Tell me what to do. And she gave me a 6-day rotation and she, yeah, you know, she changes it every couple of months. And I just follow that and I eat like really, really sad stuff. I eat a lot, but it's like sad, bro. Like fucking air fried chicken, right? Like the same thing. And then one day a week, I fuck off a lot. That's what I do. Yeah. Yeah. But you know, I'm super into it though. And I think my, you know, the old noggin is a lot better because of it.
I agree,
you know. Yeah,
for sure, for your, it's mind body connection is, you know, I mean, coming from someone that flips razor sharp knives for a fucking, like, you can't, you know, you can't suck, you can't be unphysical, you can't be uncoordinated, and you know, I've put a lot of thought and effort into concocting tricks and aerials and different moves. And and some of the stuff that these guys are doing now, like we just came back from Blade Show. I did not make it this year. Unfortunately, I had some shit kept me away from it.
Yeah, yeah.
But Lawrence and Tommy were there, and we do a great big competition there in conjunction with Ballycom. And like, if you watch some of the footage of that stuff, which I think is still
crazy,
available online from Blade HQ, the stuff that guys are doing today, unbelievable.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
It's insane.
So, yeah, there's some crazy shit going on there. But I've always been really interested in fighting and you know, and fencing and fighting and boxing and ballet song and martial arts and all that stuff that just captivated me when I was a kid. I used to get those Kung Fu magazines and just be like, oh, dude, and they had all those weird weapons in there. And I would just be like, fuck yeah. I don't know. There's something about that, you know, those older martial arts magazines.
Yeah.
Kid, you know, like that stuck with me. And it's something like that. Like when I see a comic book rack now and I hear the creak, you know, I go into we have this place called the Dirt Mall, which is basically a huge flea market because it's all outdoors. We just call it the Dirt Mall.
Yeah.
And you can just go through racks and racks of comics and shit, dude. And like just to smell those shits and shit is like taking me back in time, dog.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I used to collect comics too. Like I remember when Image Comics first started. And I had like, I just bought like a bunch of like Spawn issue number ones because I knew the deal already. I was like, these number ones are going to go for something big. And I just bought a bunch of them. And I think when I left my entire, like I had like two boxes of like pretty premier like comics, a lot of like, you know, the black costume, like Spider-Man. I forgot which issue that was, like when the first when it first appeared and shit like that. My cousins, though, they like sold it for rent money. And like, I couldn't like feel bad because like they're in a third world country and they were like poor. So I was like, no, it's cool. But I, dude, that would be worth so much now. You know what I mean?
Like, that stuff is worth bucks. I have Matt, you said Magic the other earlier. I have Magic cards that I've camped on. I had like sealed boxes of Ice Age and shit, dude.
What?
Like,
what? Do you still have it?
No, I ditched the Ice Age and Homeland stuff like a couple of years ago.
Dude, Magic was fun, bro.
Yeah. That was
Magic. I love Magic, man. Now they have the arena shit on PC, and I played it. It's fun. Yeah. I just don't know. I don't have the time to like sink into it like I used to.
I play that shit with my kids. I play that shit with my kids. I play D&D
like,
with
like
my,
the actual cards.
We play Magic together, and we play D&D on Sunday when we can. Yeah, if I'm not working.
That's so sick.
Yeah,
I love that
stuff too.
That's good parenting right there. Are you flipping a Berserk right now?
I think I saw a Berserk. I have a different Berserk.
What?
Yeah.
That's a flipper Berserk.
What? I wanted to show it to you. It was the last piece I brought out.
Oh, my God.
But we're trying. We have a flipper warden coming.
You do? I have a warden here, too.
You know the Vipera, which was the little, like, little tiny pen knife type of thing?
I don't know if I've seen that one.
We blew it up and we made Vipera XL. So now there's a flipper Vipera that's going to be inexpensive and ready to rip, as well as a warden with a flipper tab instead of the thumb wrap. So the thumb
is
wrap.
Is that a Revo? Revo Vipera?
Yeah, all Revo stuff, yeah. So.
Let's see.
I like that space, you know. People like, you know, it's a tough space. I get it. You know, there's. I guess the budget.
It's tough, man, because
again, like, I'm not everybody else's stuff, you know? So at the very least, like, you know, if you are sick of status quo inexpensive knives, there's something else you can check out.
I was telling people, like, this is one of the best deals out there right now, especially on BHQ, because this was like $36.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And it was like 90 or 18 MOV with G10.
Yeah,
I'm like, yo.
You know, like,
I was telling people, like, if you want like under 40, this is a really good deal. The steel that you get, you know. Right.
So when you start getting into those price points, do you have to put a bearing in it? No, not to compete. But you do if you want to kick ass. Do you have to use... So we have the carbon fiber nest, right?
Yeah.
And most people... I don't know. I'm not being blamative or I'm not being like...
Yeah,
so-and-so would do such and such. I'm just saying, some people would elect when building that to use carbon fiber laminate.
Mm-hmm.
We used a solid chunk of carbon fiber.
That's awesome.
This is... I just want people to understand. Though, that's the type of dudes you're dealing with when you come and deal with us. I don't want to use flunky ass carbon fiber laminate.
If I use
a real chunk of carbon fiber, then forget it. It's not right for that project. Let's find a product that it's right for, and you know, make it happen. So it's just kind of stuff like that that continues to keep us in our own space, but also allow us to play in and around price points where I feel like we are delivering. We're maybe over delivering, which is fine with me in this, you know, growth phase, and because I think it speaks well to what we want to do and be as a company. You know, I want you to get something to be like, oh shit, these guys kind of went for it. You know, like you said before, like every time when you're feeling one, you're like, okay, maybe you're not in love with the Ness. Maybe you're as a knife guy, you're like, I don't like that. Now I think you should try it and grab it because the ergos on it, I think, are some of the best.
They're really fucking good, bro. They're really good. A lot of people that I've talked to that have one or have handled one were like, the ergos on that are like phenomenal.
A lot of people could really 100% right. And you can tell. And when you land on the thing, even if it's not for you, I still want people to be like, well, they fucking went for it. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, the knife actually works really well. When I first saw it, I was like, I didn't get it because I don't know about the Nessmuck blade. I'm not, you know, I don't really know a lot about that stuff. And then I received it, and then When I did the unboxing, I was like, holy shit, this thing is crazy. Like, I, you know, it's really odd looking. And everyone in the comments was like, bro, that's sick. That's the Nesmuk blade shape and all this stuff. And I was like, oh shit, there's this whole thing behind it. And then the more I use it, I was like, the ergos on this are really good.
Yeah, I'm glad. That's because that knife, not only is it about, you know, being a Nesmuk and bringing it into that form factor, but that knife is a lot about ergos. And the
what is that?
This is a Nomad from Steve Dumchess. And this is our lab that we did this Nomad. And the reason I pulled it out was because I just wanted to show you, like, you know, our thing is like the chevron, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's chevrons inside this scale as well. So when you tilt this, it makes the logo.
Oh, shit. That's like, awesome.
Who else is going to, like, go that deep, you know? It's like
not a lot. Definitely not a lot, man.
We're just trying to do, you know, really interesting styling cues that speak to us. Even when we collaborate, like this is Steve's design, but, you know, putting our chevrons in there, not like grandstanding the knife all up with our logo, but just, you know, doing simple logo placement.
Yeah.
You know, just like trying to be kind of more sterile and really, you know, being true to what the people we collaborate with did. You know, we've collaborated with Elijah Isham, we've collaborated with Tough Thumbs, we've collaborated with Gav Koo. I mean, like, those were guys that kind of came up and arguably have, you know, grown in popularity tandem with us. You know what I mean? Like, so they were dudes that were like, we were meeting at shows and seeing all the time. And, you know, we've sold through that stuff now, but I'll tell you, one of the greatest joys, other than, like I said, earning my freedom to, like, do this as a vocation, was writing those dudes fucking commission checks for their designs.
That's awesome, man.
Where I was just like, yes, man. Like, not only am I making something that is growing and providing and is a living, working, breathing thing, but now I'm also able to go back to my friends and dudes that we met at shows or people whose work I admire and be like, hey man, we can really do something. We can do something together. You know, we've got that type of juice now. And the manufacturing relationships are there and solid. Like I said, the domestic ones we have, the fact that we're doing more in-house stuff domestically for Revo, the fact that we're have excellent overseas relationships, you know, and it's a global market, so we manufacture globally. You know, you kind of have to do that to ding some of the price points that we're playing in for Revo and stuff. But even the relationships that we have over there, extremely strong. Like, everything is positioned for us to continue to turn the volume up as people identify with the brand, grow with the brand, start to enjoy it, start to see the product offerings that are there, start to give us more dialogue and more feedback of what they want to see. Because again, I'm not like, I build this, and if you don't like this, then hit the road. I'm like, I build this, but what do you think? Like, what do you want to see? You want to see one without a flipper tab? Do you want to see, you know, I like multiple iterations of some of these products. I don't mind. I'm not afraid of inline changes. So where if we're in a production run, but we can make an inline change, we might do something and come out with, you know, go like, oh man, you know, people have been saying they really want my Carta. And then I'll get on the phone and be like, listen, can we take the initial handle scale or what you have machined, stack that, we'll take those, we'll find a retail solution for them, and can we replace them with 500, 600, 800 pieces of my Carta?
That would be sick.
You know, and so we did that. We'll be offering them my Carta next.
Nice, nice.
It's just that type of stuff. But it's not that we didn't want to do the micarta, but it was nice to hear the people be like, oh, dude, micarta, and I'm going to buy two. And I was like, oh,
micarta is so hot right now. Like,
I know,
that
right?
is like the hot handle material. That's why I wanted to have you on here, man. And I really liked having you on here and how you explained like your vision and things like that. I think that it is, I don't want to say it's lacking, but it's refreshing to hear that from someone who's like so down to earth like you, who's running this, like, you know, all these successful companies, like knife companies, and like still super chill. And I just hope like my audience like will check you out. Definitely hit up BRS Evolve, Blade Runner Systems, Revo knives, Vault. Dude, Vault is like the jump off right now. Everyone I know that has Vault is like, this is the shit.
sold out.
Yeah. You know what's crazy? The first time I really got a mini history lesson about BRS and BRS Evolve was from Backpack B. I know you know him. Right, dude, yeah. I watched that video of how he explained who you guys were with the motion graphics and how you worked with Elijah Isham for the Eon, right? Was it the Eon?
Yeah,
and I was like, first of all, I had to hit up Backpack B and was like, dude, you're doing my podcast next week. This is awesome. Oh, yeah, but then like, that's how I got like in touch with you guys. That was the first message I sent to you. I was like, I tagged you and I was like, hey, Blade Runner Systems, you should hire this guy.
Yeah, and for sure, he was a great social media partner. And, you know, sometimes you get with somebody and they're like, yo, I'll do, let me get some knives, man, I'll do a review. And, you know, it's not about even the quality of the review or whatever. It's about, like, social media partnership versus some dude that's just going to do a review and be like, and that's the Revo Nest. Good night. Like this, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
this
I'm
talking to you now, but like, we talk, dude. I'm like, what, you know, who else is good for that shit? I'm telling you what right now, you know, Levon from fucking,
oh dude, I love Levon. Yeah. 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 Dude,
right.
Yeah. I call him one of the knife YouTube elites. That's what I call him.
But if you think about it, like Slicey Dicey, all those dudes, like these dudes are social media partners.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, if you want to, you say like, yo, I want to do this and I want to be a reviewer and all that stuff. That's great, and that is one level. But if you want to be next level, you need to be a social media partner. And you need to start thinking about, hey, I have an audience here, and my audience is marketable. And I have something that you need. I have eyeballs. Eyeballs are a currency. Ed, do you need to see more people, you know, be exposed to your product? Let's work together to achieve something there. Let's do a discount code. Let's, you know, put our audiences together and see what it creates for both of us. What is, you know, I don't ever bring I don't like anything that brings a single angle to the table. That seems like nonsense to me.
Yeah.
You're never really going to co-opt someone else's skills set if you're not truly like playing off one another. So you mean to say, let's just say like we were building a house, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like a master electrician and you were a master carpenter, right? We get together and we're going to build a kick-ass house, dude. Because you're going to do everything that you do real, real good. And I'm going to do everything that I do real, real good. And when you mash the things together, you get a great house with a great electric layout, perfect panel, backup generators, all the fancy carpentry you can do, all the excellent electric, work that I can do, right? But if I just show up to you and I withhold my skill set and I'm like, go promote my knife, and you go, here's the Revo Nest, that to me is falling flat, dude. It's just such a flat thing. Like, I don't even want that with my customer. Like I said, you can just buy the knife, but like, I'm encouraging you to check us out on a deeper level, because even if you want to hit me up and be like, here's a good example. I like to give examples, so it makes much more That's point. Good. There's a girl who drew this picture of someone holding a rep, Bobby Brion, one of the flippers that are us. And it was based off a picture that she saw of him, who he took of himself when he got a gnarly cut flipping, and we turned these into t-shirts and stickers.
That's sick, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
That is
because
sick.
I want to empower her to do what she does awesome, which is draw and use the computer to draw and paint.
That's
right?
Amazing.
See what I'm saying? And so I was like, hey, look, like, you can do something for me. I can do something for you. Do you want me to promote your drawing? Do you want me to show people that you can draw? Do you want... I have 50, 60,000 Instagram fans. Let's show them what you can do. Maybe it turns into something for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's got to be like that, dog. And like, if you do that for one another in the knife community, I think you'll find that type of inclusiveness and utilizing off of one another's skill sets, the sky's the limit when you do that shit. It really is. I can't do everything, especially trying, you know, running three engines like we're doing. So playing that can't be in all places at once. But when I come across someone that I can make true partnership with, it's always I'm giving something, they're giving something. Mm-hmm. You know? And we've had a lot of success in doing that. And I think that's why a lot of people have found it easy to align themselves with our mission, because it's not just our mission. It becomes the mission. You know what I mean?
That's beautiful, man. That is beautiful. And we're going to end it on that note, my friend. It was such an honor to have you on here.
No, it's my
Everyone, please check out Blade Runner Systems, BRS Evolve, Revo Knives, Vault Case. You could look through my socials. They're on Instagram. They're all over my social media. Like literally anything you go to, whether it's Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, you will see them like everywhere. I always rep these guys and absolutely love what you guys are doing.
Enjoy yourselves. Get yourself something. Use it. Have fun. Give us the feedback. Talk to us. Engage us. We're ready for that stuff. Thanks for having me. It's my pleasure to hang with you. Obviously, we need to get together and talk about magic comic books here. I'd like to come down.
You know what we should do? We should play a Magic the Gathering game with this other big social media knife girl. Her name is Little Fit Devil. She does guns and knives too. She was on my podcast two times. Dude, she is like amazing at Magic the Gathering.
She just posted a bunch of Revo stuff.
Yeah. Dude, we should like play a game of MTG and like fucking shoot it as content. It'd be crazy.
Is she in New York though?
She's not, but like I'm trying to think of how to do it, because like I'm getting into like Twitch and shit.
Oh,
We're gonna end with this. So like I've talked about this update on my channel, on my live show this past Monday, but I have a lot of friends in the gaming industry and people that stream on Twitch, and people pretty high up in like game companies that I've known my whole life. Cool. And they've always said, like, if anyone of my friends was gonna make it as a Twitch streamer, I've always put you at the number one of the list, right? So one of my friends, I don't know where, sends me like $1,200 like to my Venmo for no reason other than like, hey, I want you to build yourself like a gaming rig and I want you to be streaming on Twitch like by next week. And like, so the channel is going to be streaming on Twitch, and that would be like a cool little project to have, maybe if we could just even just play digitally on Arena and on MTG Arena, and then like we'll have, I don't know if you could do 3-man games or not, I don't know, but maybe something like that. And then we just like shoot it as content would be fucking sick. Like,
yeah, because we can talk knives and bullshit.
Yeah, and I could like stream it on Twitch and stuff. And
it's on Arena though. I can't use my Achroma Angel deck. It's all
dude. And like little Carla is gonna kill us because she plays Arena every night, bro.
Oh, right. That's okay though. I'll get humbled. That's all right.
But that just went into my head like once, like you said, like yeah, we talk about magic. I was like, oh my god, we should play with Carla. But dude.
We'll do it.
But dude, thank you so much for doing this. This is your boy Ray, and this is the EDCC and BRS saying peace and good night.
Yo, don't forget to hit that subscribe button, and don't forget to hit that bell icon so we can squad up in the comments.